KOIN, AM 97, FM 101, Portland.
CBS News, efforts to settle the nationwide strike by independent truckers are again centered in the White House. This is Harry Burrell reporting for the CBS Radio Network. President Nixon and Federal Energy Director William Simon met this afternoon to discuss the strike situation and the overall energy problem. The conference came after negotiators for the truckers handed over a list of demands for presidential assistant W.J. Ossery to deliver to the White House. Pennsylvania Governor Milton Schapp, who has been involved in the Washington negotiations, says the list contains no new demands. The truckers want a 5% surcharge on freight rates and a freeze on diesel fuel. President Nixon ordered that freeze yesterday as part of the government's proposal for ending the strike, but the truckers rejected the plan, calling it inadequate. The House Judiciary Committee now has unlimited subpoena power, including the right to call President Nixon to testify in the impeachment inquiry. The full House has voted 410-4 to give the committee unlimited authority in conducting its investigation. The vote came after rejection of efforts to amend the resolution, including a move to set an April 30th cutoff date for the impeachment inquiry. However, Judiciary Committee Chairman Peter Rodino has repeated his pledge to try to have the panel's recommendations prepared by the end of April. In Watergate developments, President Nixon reportedly has rejected the special prosecutor's request for additional tapes and documents. Presidential counsel James Sinclair is said to have told Leon Jaworski in a letter that Mr. Nixon has been more than responsive to his requests, but the attorney says there apparently is no end to the demands. President Nixon has declined on grounds of national interest to release five recordings to the Senate Watergate Committee. In a letter to U.S. District Judge Gerhard Gesell, Mr. Nixon says the committee has indicated it intends to make public the taped conversations with John Dean, action the president says would seriously infringe upon the principle of confidentiality. More CBS News in a minute.
Oh, hello, Mr. Carlson, and how are you today?
Oh, fine, just fine. How about yourself, Gladys?
Oh, I'm pretty good, thank you. Yeah. Now, let's see what we've got here. Toothpaste, razor blades, prunes.
Something wrong?
Can we have a replacement checker for Gladys on number 5, please?
There are still a lot of people who laugh at prunes. But now, quite a few are finding out how good they really are. Because pound for pound, prunes have 8 times the vitamin A of the leading fresh fruit. And more iron, niacin, and vitamin B2 than the 5 leading fresh fruits. They're also a great natural source of quick energy.
Oh, I'm sorry to keep you waiting, sir. I'm taking Gladys's place.
That's okay.
Let me see. Bread, milk, prunes.
Oh, boy. California prunes. The funny fruit that does so much for you.
A Republican member of the Senate Watergate Committee, Lowell Weicker, has submitted a list of questions to President Nixon. Weicker wants to know why Mr. Nixon did not inform authorities last March about the evidence of Watergate crimes allegedly revealed to him by John Dean. In Alexandria, Virginia today, a 3-judge panel disbarred Dean on grounds of unethical, unprofessional, and unwarranted conduct in the Watergate case. The Senate Rules Committee has approved a system of providing federal funds to finance presidential and congressional elections. Under the proposed legislation, presidential candidates for the 2 major parties would receive 15 cents per voter, or about $21 million in federal money. The bill also provides a system of matching grants to aid primary campaigns. House and Senate committees have approved bills raising the federal minimum wage to $2 an hour. The Senate Labor Committee has acted favorably on legislation providing an immediate pay raise for some 3.5 million workers whose wages are at or below the minimum wage. A House Labor Subcommittee has approved a bill raising the minimum wage to $2 an hour within 30 days of final passage. John Sawhill, the deputy administrator of the Federal Energy Office, says that despite some improvement of the overall fuel picture, the prospects for nationwide gasoline rationing by the summer remain about 50-50. Sawhill, attending a Los Angeles conference, says that interim rationing programs such as those initiated in Oregon and Hawaii are being studied and might be implemented nationally.
I think that is possible, yes. I think at this point what we're doing is encouraging other states to look into this method, and we will report on our assessment of the Oregon situation so that states have an opportunity to understand the problems and the considerations that they should make in determining whether to go to this kind of rationing program.
Sawhill also expressed optimism that the current stalemate with the independent truckers can be settled and that an acceptable solution can be worked out in the negotiations now underway. In Washington, Sawhill's boss, William Simon, has informed Congress he will order gasoline rationing if he thinks it is necessary, with or without the lawmakers' approval. Simon says he'll make a decision by the end of the week on whether to direct oil refineries to cut down on the production of home heating oil and start making more gasoline. Now, this message.
Together with Holiday Inn. Good food, good friends, together.
Every month, month after month, 42 million American men and women get all wrapped up in the same thing. It's what helps them deal with money problems, with the concerns of the young and the old, with the unspoken gulfs that can appear in a marriage. It helps them with their income tax, their jobs, understanding the government, and even in the elusive pursuit of self-knowledge. Reader's Digest, it's the world's bestseller. You don't have to wonder why.
FBI agents in Berkeley are circulating photographs of possible suspects in the kidnapping of Patricia Hearst. Federal investigators reveal there are new developments in the abduction of the newspaper heiress, but there are no details. The San Francisco Examiner, a Hearst newspaper, reports that photographs, including those of women associated with militant groups, are being shown by agents on the University of California campus in Berkeley and elsewhere. Secretary of State Kissinger says if the Arab nations continue to deprive the United States of oil, the action, in his words, can only be construed as blackmail. Addressing the Harvard-Yale-Princeton Club in Washington, Kissinger said he had been assured that the U.S. role in the Middle East Peace Initiative would lead to a lifting of the embargo. An army revolt reportedly is continuing in Jordan. Palestinian guerrilla sources claim rebelling troops have surrounded several key buildings outside Amman to back up demands for the ouster of the premier and the appointment of a military cabinet. The guerrilla news agency, which opposes King Hussein's regime, claims two army divisions are now involved in the revolt. The stock market report in a minute.
We're number one. We're the largest company, and you don't get to be the largest company unless you're doing a little extra for people.
Agent Bill Rich of Logan, Utah, explains why State Farm Mutual is the world's largest car insurer.
This is what the consumer feels, and you know that if a consumer feels State Farm is number one, it's got to be on two things, service and price. And if you're not competitive in both of these areas and do the job, the customer is not going to rate them where they have. We're number one. We only got there because we were most competitive, or as competitive as anyone, and because we're there to serve.
Service and price. That's what car insurance value is all about. And there are two good reasons to see your nearby State Farm agent now.
Like a good neighbor.
The New York stock market closed higher today in slow trading. The Dow Jones closing stock averages showed 30 industrials, 824.62, up 3.98. 20 transportations, 182.64, up 0.92. 15 utilities, 92.41, up 0.26. And 65 stocks, 263.94, up 1.20. Volume, 11.5 million shares. Harry Burrell for CBS News.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the sound of suspense. Welcome to the fear you can hear. Welcome to the world of terrifying imagination. This is a tale about justice, about the lady who stands over the criminal courthouses of America with a blindfold over her eyes. Of course, the blindfold represents impartiality, not faulty vision. But yet, there are occasions when justice seems to be looking the other way. And that's something which bothers Attorney Ned Murray very much indeed.
He's getting away with murder, Tony. And maybe he'll get away with another one.
Maybe there's an answer.
What?
I've been waiting a long time to figure out what I could do for you, Ned. What kind of favor might be important to you. Now I know.
Tony! You're thinking about killing Rydell.
Our mystery drama, After the Verdict, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Henry Slusser and stars Tony Roberts. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problem? Business Bureau,
no? What with all this oil shortage and all, Mrs. Nye talking about having our furnace checked out. I wonder what we should do.
I can give you some advice about what to do.
Yeah? Who are you?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau. Now, it may be true that your furnace is in need of repair or even replacement. But don't be rushed into such a decision. Shop around. Get two or three estimates. Don't sign any contract until you have read and understood it thoroughly. And if the installation requires alterations to your home, be sure a permit has been obtained if required. And don't sign a completion certificate until that work has been satisfactorily completed. Just another tip from your Better Business Bureau.
It's Moonlight Sale time at Jensen Beach Center this Friday night from 6 to 10 p.m. with great values throughout the 60 mall stores. Shop the warmth and comfort of the heated enclosed malls. All stores except the restaurants will close from 5 to 6 to prepare for the fantastic money-saving values. And there will be free entertainment. Remember, Moonlight Sale savings this Friday night only from 6 to 10 p.m. at Jensen Beach Center. Interstate 5 at Jansen Beach.
Food is love. Maybe, maybe not. But whatever. Buying just what you want for your family isn't so hard. To help you choose, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has prepared a booklet and list of publications called Keys to Quality. It's free. Just write. Consumer Product Information, Washington, D.C., 20407.
Keys to Quality.
What better place to begin a story about justice than in a courtroom? This one is packed today because it's the day the jury is going to return its verdict in the case of the People versus Louis Rydell. That's Rydell over there, the thin man with the burning eyes. See the way he searches the face of every juror who takes his or her place in the jury box? It's only natural, of course, because Louis Rydell had been charged with murder. Shh, quiet now. Presiding Judge Lincoln Arthur is about to speak.
The foreman of the jury will please rise. Has the jury reached a verdict in this case?
We have, Your Honor.
Please read your verdict to the court.
We find the defendant, Louis Rydell, not guilty.
Congratulations, Lou. I'm very happy.
You're happy. How do you think I feel? Hey, come on. Let's get out of this place. Let's celebrate, huh? Let's pick up my wife and have a ball.
Well, I don't think I can. I promised my boss that I'd go to...
I don't care about your boss. You want to see that daughter of his. Okay, well, am I going to force them?
I can't, Lou. I'm sorry.
Come on, come on, counselor.
Melanie's got a cab waiting outside.
Boy, did I read those faces wrong. I thought, that's a hanging jury if ever I saw one.
The only one I was worried about was that little old lady with the blue hair.
You just can't tell about a jury from their faces. My last case, well, I thought they all looked friendly, but I lost. You won this one, Mr. Murray. I bet that boss of yours is real pleased. I mean, all this publicity that you got. Well, you're a regular Clarence Darrow.
Look, Lou, we don't really have to talk about the fee settlement now. Why don't you and Melanie just go out and drink up a couple of bottles of champagne?
Oh, Lou doesn't drink, Mr. Murray. Lou doesn't have any vices. Do you, Lou?
I want to get the money settled, Counselor. Melanie here doesn't like to hear about money. She just likes to spend it. We'll drop her off at home.
Hey, you promised to take me someplace.
Wait for me at home, Pumpkin. Oh. Daddy will be there just as soon as he settles things with his lawyer. Okay?
What choice do I have?
I'll be home in an hour or two, and we'll go out to dinner. Just stay in the apartment, and don't open the door to anyone. And if you have to open the door, wear some clothes, baby. Huh? It's a nice little office you got here, Mr. Murray. Only, strikes me as kind of small, isn't it?
That's big enough, Lou.
I mean, compared to that big office down the hall, Mr. Ostrow.
Mr. Ostrow is the senior partner of this firm, Lou.
Well, maybe when you marry his daughter. You are going to marry that chick, aren't you?
Let's get down to business, okay?
I mean, the way she was hanging around that courtroom every day of the trial, I figured she was pretty stuck on you.
Lou, this meeting was your idea. You said you could manage to pay about $150 a month, and that's perfectly fine with me.
Sure, Mr. Murray, anything you say.
We could have settled this in the taxi.
I guess they just didn't want to face Melanie for a couple of hours. I needed an excuse. You understand?
I suppose so.
She's beautiful, isn't she?
Mrs. Rydell? No, yes, she's very lovely.
She can't help herself, you know. The way men bother her all the time. They look at her and right away they get ideas. It's not her fault.
No.
She's not smart about it, though. She doesn't know the way men think. Like the way she answers the door sometimes in that sloppy housecoat. She gives people ideas. Like that kid Yost. I feel sorry for that kid, you know?
I know you do. It's just too bad that he got himself mugged the day after you threw him out of the house. You wouldn't have gone through all this. You wouldn't be owing me $150 a month.
Yeah, I feel sorry for him. Kid delivers the groceries every day. Gets the same eyeful every day. His tongue must have been hanging out.
Lou, I really have to get on home. I've got a party at my boss's house tonight.
But just the same, I'd do it again. That's the way I am. The guy touches my wife. I get a red fire in my brain and I can't stop myself. Now, I owe you a lot, Mr. Murray. More than money.
Well, forget it. Just learn to keep your temper.
I really killed that boy, you know?
What did you say?
I killed him, Mr. Murray. I waited for him in the hallway the next day, and I grabbed him. He was a scrawny kid. It was like wringing the neck of a chicken. I do the same thing again, Mr. Murray, to the next guy who bothers my wife. I gotta learn. Well, better go now. Melanie's waiting for me.
You lied to me. Every stinking word you told me was a lie.
Don't be sore, Mr. Murray. I couldn't tell you the truth, could I? I mean, you wouldn't have taken the case, would you?
Yes. I would have taken the case and told you to plead guilty with cause.
No, that wouldn't have been any good. I wanted you to get me off. And that's what you did.
Look,
I've got to go now, Mr. Murray. I just want to say thanks again.
Oh, you think it's that simple? You think you can just walk out of here?
No, Melanie's waiting for me. She likes to eat dinner early. The girl's always hungry. So long, Mr. Murray.
Oh, my God.
Light on the line, one
of them. Ned! Ned, for the love of Mike, where you been? Sorry I'm so late, Mr. Ostrow.
Who do you think this party's for, anyway?
Well, come in, come in, come in.
Karen's going out of her brain waiting for you to get here.
Looks like quite a crowd.
Well, they're all in your pocket tonight now, Ned.
All right, everybody, hold it. Hold it. Here's the man we've all been waiting for. Ned Murray, folks. Greatest trial lawyer since Clarence... since Harry Ostrom. Hey, come on, Ned. Clarence over here.
Ned.
Hi, darling.
Where in the world have you been? The party started 2 hours ago.
I just lost track of the time, that's all.
Must be love if you ask me.
All right, I'll see you kids later.
Ned, come into the kitchen for a minute. No, it's full of servants. Come into the bedroom.
Now, that's an offer I can't refuse. Well, what did you have in mind?
Give you one guess. Oh, darling, I'm so proud of you. You were so wonderful.
The kiss was pretty wonderful.
Father says that you are everything he used to be in the courtroom. And there's no higher praise he can give than that.
Look, let's forget about the trial. It's over.
Oh, no, I don't want to forget about it, Ned. I'm just so thrilled with the way you handled the case. That man Rydell seems so guilty.
But there's too much fuss about all this, Karen.
Father said that if you could win this case, you could do anything. That it would mean a lot of business to the firm. Do you know what I think? He's not going to wait on that promise about the junior partnership. I think he's going to do something about it right now.
Are you serious?
Don't tell him what I said, but I'm sure of it. Ned, you'll have to stop making excuses pretty soon, lover. You'll have to name the day. Oh, for heaven's sake.
It's probably your father wanting me to join the party.
Hiya, Ned. Ostrow told me you were here.
Tony, for the love of Mike, I haven't seen you in ages.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, hey, I am sorry I didn't know you had somebody with you.
It's all right, Mr. Igo. I was just going to fix my makeup. See you later, darling.
Yes, yes, sure. Tony, I don't think I ever saw you at Ostrow's before.
Yeah, you know me, Ned. I don't like to mix with all these big shots. Hey, you still talk to ordinary people? Big celebrity like you, huh?
I'll talk to you anytime, Tony.
Listen, I was in court today. I've been there the last 4 days. Bet you didn't even notice, huh?
Well, that was nice of you. Busy man like you.
Well, I got a personal interest. You know that.
Sure. Tony...
I was real glad you won, kid. Reminded me all over again what you did for me 2 years ago. Get me off that murder rap. It was like seeing the whole thing again.
It wasn't the same, Tony. For one thing, you didn't kill it. I mean, come on, let's go out and get a drink.
Not for me. Since I seen you last, I got me an ulcer. That's the price of success, you know, in my business, just like yours.
That's too bad.
You know something, Ned? You don't look so healthy yourself.
I'm okay.
You look great in that courtroom, only now... you don't look like a guy who won a case. You look like a loser.
I'm just tired. Let down, you know.
Yeah, sure. Hey, look, Ned. You remember what I told you once, huh? You got any troubles you can't handle, I want to hear about them. You got a favor coming from me, and it bothers me not to pay off.
That was a long time ago. You don't owe me anything.
I keep good books. Don't tell me who I owe. Hey, go on, Ned. Find that girl of yours. Maybe she can cheer you up, huh?
Tell you the truth, Tony, I need a couple of minutes all by myself. You know how it is.
Yeah, sure, I know how it is. Sometimes too much is too much.
Yeah, that's right.
See you around later, kid. Okay?
Yeah, later. Sometimes... too much is too much.
They really killed that boy, you know.
He killed him. He killed him, and I let him get away with it.
I killed him, Mr. Murray.
Oh, God.
I'll do the same thing again to the next guy who bothers my wife. I'll do the same thing, Mr. Murray. The same thing.
I'm coming. Oh, Mr. Murray.
Hello, Mrs. Rydell.
Oh, well, Lou isn't home, you know. Oh, he went to see Mr. Fleming about going back to the company?
I knew he wasn't home. May I come in anyway?
Oh, yeah, sure. Look, do you think Lou will have any trouble? I mean, getting his old job back? No, he was their best salesman before the trouble happened. They won't hold it against him, will they?
I don't know. I want to ask you a few things.
Sure.
Mrs. Rydell, before the trial, you told me your husband was the jealous type.
Yeah, that's right.
But you said there was never any reason for his jealousy.
But do we have to go through that again? The trial's over, isn't it?
Please, it's more important than you think.
Why?
This delivery boy, Yost, I tried to underplay Lou's anger about him in court, but he was really pretty sore about the pass he made at you, wasn't he?
But I told you all that. Yes, Lou was sore. Sore. He was crazy. I didn't even want to tell him about the kid because I was afraid he'd... Well, you know...
Mrs. Rydell, the trial is over, just as you said. Nobody can charge Lou with the same crime again. That's the law in this state. So you've got nothing to lose by telling me the absolute truth.
About what?
Lou did kill that boy, didn't he?
Hey!
He waited for him the next day and choked him to death.
That's a dirty lie! How could you, of all people...
All right. Maybe you didn't know the truth. Maybe you believed your husband the way I did.
Oh, you get out of here, mister.
Please, I'm not through. The reason I know this is because Lou told me himself yesterday in my office. Lou isn't going to change because of the trial. He's an insanely jealous man, and he might very well do the same thing again.
Oh, you're awful. I thought you were so nice, Mr. Murray, but you're terrible.
I had to let you know how things are with Lou. He got away with murder, and that makes me sick to my stomach. There's not much I can do about it, but maybe you can do something, Mrs. Rydell.
Me?
You can be careful. Do you understand?
No.
You've got to make sure he never has any reason to be jealous.
Listen, if you think I play around...
Even if he misunderstands your behavior, somebody else might get Lou's hands around his throat. It might even be easier for him the next time. He got away with it once. Please, Mrs. Rydell, for his sake. All right, for mine. Don't make your husband kill again.
I don't know about you, but I think Mr. Murray's request is very reasonable. The only problem, of course, is exactly how reasonable Lou Rydell is. There's something about the man's eyes, the way his hands twitch. Personally, I don't think it would be a very good idea to wink at Mrs. Rydell. I'll return shortly with Act Two.
When you drink beer, do you tilt the glass for long, hearty swallows? Or just tip it and sip it? Well, sipping's the thing for wine, but Budweiser beer is a hearty drink. Brewed for zest and character. The best way to enjoy Bud is to drink it. Not chug a lug, just man-sized beer drinker swallows. That's when that famous Budweiser taste, smoothness, and drinkability really come through. Smoothness and drinkability that come only from natural carbonation and exclusive beechwood aging. Smoothness and drinkability, too good for any half-hearted sipping. So drink up. You'll see that brewing beer right does make a difference. And that when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Hi, I'm Hal Linden. There's a lot of talk these days about America's energy crisis. Talk about doing without heat, about doing without our cars, about what's going to happen if we run out of fuel. Well, we may not have to run out of fuel if we all work together to conserve the fuel we have. That means turning your thermostats down to 68 degrees during the day and turning them down to 60 at night. It means turning off lights, TV sets, and electrical appliances the minute we're finished with them. It means driving no faster than 50, starting or joining carpools, avoiding the kind of stop-and-go motoring that eats up gas by the gallon. In short, it means saving every ounce of energy we can every chance we get. So please, do your part to make the fuel supply stretch a little further. For your own sake, don't be selfish. Don't be foolish. Don't be fuelish.
This message from the Federal Energy Office and the Advertising Council.
And now here's Act Two of After the Verdict. It's a bright, sunny morning, the kind of morning that fills promising young men like Ned Murray with enthusiasm for life. After all, he has everything going for him. A fine career ahead, marriage to a lovely young lady who also happens to be the boss's daughter. And even if his recent triumph has turned a bit sour, it was still a triumph, wasn't it? But as Ned Murray goes to see Harry Ostrow, he finds the sun isn't shining in the big corner office. The shades are drawn. His boss's face is a thundercloud.
You wanted to see me, Mr. Ostrow?
Yes. Come in and shut the door.
Hello, Mr. Murray. Nice to see you again.
Well, hello, Lou. What are you doing here?
Mr. Rydell's told me something I find hard to believe, Ned. I said he must be mistaken, but he swears it's true. Did you go to see Mrs. Rydell yesterday?
Yes.
Why did you think it was necessary to do that?
I had something I wanted to tell her. It was strictly an unofficial visit.
You told her I was guilty. You went up there deliberately just to frighten her. I ought to sue you for what you did, Mr. Murray. Lawyer or no lawyer.
What kind of nonsense is this, Ned? You didn't say any such thing, did you? Well, did you?
Yes, sir, I did.
What?
I didn't go there to frighten her, just to warn her. Right after the trial, Mr. Rydell here obliged me with a nice little confession. A little late, I'm afraid.
Confession? What are you talking about?
That's a lie. I don't know what you've got against me, Mr. Murray. I never heard of a lawyer behaving like this. I didn't kill that boy. The jury said so.
And Ned, please, this is all so ridiculous.
Mr. Rydell put it very bluntly. He said he killed Yost. He said he'd kill again if another Yost came along.
You can't do that. It's over. The trial's over. They can't put me through this again. They can't.
No, no, Mr. Rydell. Of course they can't. There's nothing to get excited about. Mr. Murray just misunderstood you, that's all.
I read him loud and clear. I knew I couldn't get him back in a courtroom because of double jeopardy, but I thought if I went to the DA, he'd be a lot more careful with his hands the next time.
I'll sue you. I'll sue this whole firm for slander. You hear that, Ostrow?
Now, please, Ned. Apologize to Mr. Rydell. Tell him you didn't mean it.
Apologize? Yes, I should apologize to the state for saving his skin.
Ned, you listen to me now. I don't know what went on between you and this man, and I don't care. But he's a client, understand? My client, even if you handle the case. And there's such a thing as lawyer-client privilege.
Since when does it include murder?
Shut up and listen to me. Anything you do reflects on me, on the way I run this firm. Mr. Rydell got a fair trial under law.
Better than fair.
Yes. And the jury acquitted him. That's all we have to know. You don't have any right to violate any confidences he made to you. Didn't they teach you that in law school?
They taught me something else. They taught me the lawyer's main concern was for justice.
You talk about justice, huh? Go talk to that hoodlum buddy of yours, Tony Igo. If there was justice, you think that crook would be walking around loose?
Tony was innocent of that murder charge.
Because the jury said so. And they said the same thing about Mr. Rydell here. And that's that, my boy. Understand?
Pete's sake, can't they let a guy get some rest in his own home?
Well, have I caught you with a blonde?
You caught me with a bottle.
And just in time, obviously. Well, the least I can do is make sure you don't drink alone.
Not enough for the two of us.
Even if I give you this?
What is it?
A present. Open it. It's that pipe you were so crazy about. The one with the ivory carving. I was saving it for some special occasion. But your birthday isn't for 6 months.
It's a beauty. If you're going to bribe me, I prefer cash.
Really? And I thought I'd use sex appeal. I understand that surefire.
Excuse me, it's time for another drink. What's so funny?
The whole thing. You, Father. He told me about that scene in his office this morning. I wish I could have been there. Clarence Darrow versus William Jennings Bryan.
It wasn't. It was stupid versus childish. And all because of that...
All because of that silly man with the funny eyes. Honestly, Ned, I hope you won't make any more fuss about him.
I thought it was Daddy who was making the fuss.
Believe me, I think he feels just awful about the whole silly quarrel.
Yeah, I'll bet he does.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Ned. Why would you want to spoil things now? All right, maybe that idiotic man did kill that grocery boy, but I'm not saying he didn't, but... Well, wouldn't be the first time that a guilty man... Ned!
It's the first time for me. Don't you understand that? The first time I ever got a guilty man off?
Was it really, darling? Well, that man I go...
Tony was innocent.
Well, innocent of that crime, maybe, but what about all the others? He might have killed a dozen men before, or had them killed.
He wasn't being tried for killing a dozen men, only one. And he was innocent of that.
I should know better than to talk to you while you're drinking.
I'm going to the district attorney tomorrow, Karen. Even if it doesn't do a bit of good, I'll feel better for it.
Do you know what the DA will say? He'll say you're a fool.
I don't care.
You haven't got a shred of proof. Not a shred. And all the proof in the world wouldn't put Lou Rydell back on the stand. You know that, don't you? If you go to the DA tomorrow, you can find yourself another connection.
What? What was that?
Oh, I'm sorry, Ned, but he did say it. And I know my father. I know he never says anything he doesn't
mean. What about you, Karen? What about the connection between me and you?
I waited long enough for you to get serious about me, Ned. I can wait a little longer until you come to your senses.
And that's the real bribe, isn't it? Take it easy, will you? Give a guy a chance. Tony, what the heck are you doing here?
Boy, you've really been working at it, kid.
Huh?
I'm an invited guest, remember? No, I guess you don't. About an hour ago, you called me up, told me to come have a drink with you. Well, here I am. Want to change your mind?
No. Come on in.
I told you, make mine ginger ale or something. I'll drink with you.
No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing, Tony. That's about all I've got left. Just one more drink.
Hey. What is this, kid? This celebration going on a long time, ain't it?
I'm not celebrating now, Tony. Commiserating. That's the word, isn't it? Doesn't sound right. Commiserating.
Don't ask me. I never heard it before.
It means I'm feeling sorry for somebody.
For who?
For a dumb kid, name of Yost. Dumb kid from the grocery.
You mean a kid that got killed?
Yeah, that's right, that got killed. Yeah. And you know who killed him?
How should I know?
Where's that drink? Oh, there it is. Here's the crime, Tony.
Put it down, Ned.
What?
You heard me. Put it down. You want to tell me your troubles? Okay, I'll put on a pot of coffee. For both of us. Did it make you feel any better?
No.
Well, give it time.
Tony, were you listening to me? Did you hear what I told you?
Yeah, I heard you. This guy Rydell is a kookaboo.
He's getting away with murder, Tony. And maybe he'll get away with another one.
Nah, next time will be different.
You know different from one thing.
Meantime, somebody gets killed.
Well, what's that to you? I'm sorry. Sir, I forgot the kind of guy I'm talking to.
What am I going to feel like when it happens, Tony?
Well, there must be some way to nail this crumb.
No. No, there isn't. The law protects him. Double jeopardy. A man can't be tried twice for the same crime. That's how it goes, Tony. One trial to a customer.
It's a shame, all right. They hung better guys than that, and he's walking around free as air.
That's the law, Tony.
Yeah, the law. Okay, if it bothers you so much, stop him.
Yeah. Tell me how.
Everybody else has to pay the penalty, right? Why not him?
It's too late. It's too late, Tony.
For the law, maybe.
Huh?
Want some more coffee?
No.
I think I'll get myself a cup. Yeah, maybe there's an answer.
What?
I've been waiting a long time to figure out what I could do for you, Ned. What kind of favor might be important to you. Now I know.
How do you mean, favor?
Well, it won't be just for you. I'd be doing everybody a favor, the whole state, right? Only when it happens, I mean it for you, Ned. Remember that. Gee, it's good coffee. Well, see you around.
Tony, wait. Wait a minute.
Oh, it's getting late, kid. I have to go.
What? What was that you just said? What's in your mind?
Nothing. Come on, I did my good deed for day. Let me out of here now, huh?
I want to know what you meant by a favor.
You know what the word means.
You're thinking of killing Rydell.
Oh, you see too many movies.
Tony, don't be crazy. I don't want that kind of favor, understand?
Yeah, sure. Just let him loose, huh? So what if he gets away with murder, huh? Plenty of guys do that. You told me yourself, a nut like Rydell, he's a sure thing to try it again.
Killing him is no answer.
Sure, so let some other slobs get knocked off, huh? That's better.
I didn't mean all those things I said, Tony. You got the wrong idea.
This guy didn't kill a grocery boy. He's killing you too, buddy, and that's what I care about. But you got nothing to be afraid of. Nothing's going to rub off on you. I know my business, just like you know yours. So long, kid.
Tony!
Usually, it's a very good thing to have friends. Loyal friends who are always willing to do you a favor. But it looks as if Tony Igo is going to do a good deed by committing a very bad deed. The question is, can one murder avenge another? We'll find out shortly when we return with Act 3.
Hi, son.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Junior.
Kellogg's Special K presents Junior Gives Up.
Junior, why aren't you eating your Special K? It's your favorite cereal.
Oh, just cause.
Just cause why, honey?
Just cause Darla said some evil things about it. That's just cause why.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Hi, Darla. Hi, sis.
Hi, Junior.
Darla, what did you tell Junior about his Special K?
Daddy, all I told him was that Special K is good for him.
Yeah, and anything that's good for me never seems to taste good.
But Junior, you already know that Special K tastes good.
Oh, I believe. Darla, or my taste buds.
What's that, son?
Oh, nothing, Dad.
Son, Special K is America's favorite high-protein cereal. It's got minerals, vitamins, iron, and all those good, nutritious things. But it got to be so popular over the years because it tastes good, too.
You mean it's good for me and tastes good, too.
Right, son.
Right, Dad.
Right, Junior.
Right,
Mom. Right, indeed. Start your balanced breakfast with Kellogg's Special K. It's nutritious and delicious.
Right, Dad.
Did you say God? Well, I know him by everything you say and do. Did you say God? Well, I've seen him every time I look at you. He's touched you with his love.
A truce of violence. It can come true in your life, the community of God.
Make it your way. This message is brought to you by Religion and American Life. Act of After the Verdict. Listen closely. Here's a sound we don't hear very often. Yes. What with all these electric clocks and digital clocks and electronic clocks, the good old-fashioned ticking that marks off the minutes and hours of the night is rarely heard. But tonight, Ned Murray is hearing that sound. Hearing it from a clock which normally purrs softly on his night table. But Ned's hearing is highly sensitive tonight. His brain is tuned like a high-frequency instrument, picking out the slightest vibrations, tuning in on voices he doesn't want to hear.
Choices are pretty clear, aren't they?
Are they? Not to me, they aren't. I don't think things are ever that simple, especially when it comes to law.
Just ask your father. He knows all about the law. He knows how to make money at it. That proves it.
That isn't fair, Ned.
No. I suppose it isn't.
Don't you remember what he used to say? That if the time ever comes when right and wrong are absolutely clear, there won't be any need for lawyers.
Your father didn't say that, Karen. He was quoting someone.
Who?
Judge Lincoln Arthur, as a matter of fact. The judge at Rydell's trial.
Well, it makes very good sense to me.
Yeah. Judge Arthur always made sense to me, too. Karen, do you mind if I hang up now?
Then you are angry.
No. It's just that I have to make a call. A very important call.
All right, Ned, but will you call me tomorrow?
Yes. If there is one. Good night, Karen. Information? Can you give me the number of Judge Lincoln Arthur?
Me wine, Ned?
No, Judge, thanks. I've sworn off that stuff for the duration of my life.
Sounds like you had yourself a party. Is that when you came up with this parable? Isn't that what you called it?
No, Judge. It's more like a riddle, a legal riddle. The only thing is, I already know the answer.
All right. Let's see if I know it.
It's about a lawyer. A criminal lawyer who defends somebody for murder and does it successfully. He's convinced of his client's innocence, understand? And that helps him get the acquittal. But right after the verdict, he makes a discovery that his client is guilty.
How does he make this discovery?
Is that important?
It might be. Was it on evidence that had appeared at the trial? Evidence he had misinterpreted or concealed unknowingly?
No. It was a confession.
How does he obtain this confession?
It's given to him, unsolicited, by his client.
Why?
I don't know. Perversity, pride, ego. Anyway, he knows the truth about his client. And he knows something worse. That the man is more than capable of committing a similar crime. In fact, he boasts of the possibility almost gleefully.
Any witnesses to this confession?
No. And when he's confronted with it, the client denies ever having made it.
You're not asking a legal question, Ned. I'm sure you know where your hypothetical lawyer stands legally. In the middle of nowhere. Is this a moral question, maybe?
Yeah, you might say that. I mean, if you were that lawyer, Judge, what would you do?
If I were that lawyer, Ned, and if I were your age, I suppose I'd do what you're doing now. I'd get angry. With my client, with myself, maybe even with the law. But if I were practicing now, I think I'd feel different.
How different?
I wouldn't feel anger. Only pity.
Pity? For a man like that?
Yes. Exactly for that kind of man. Man who feels a compulsion to confess must have felt a similar compulsion to kill. They're symptoms of the same disease, Ned. And if there's one thing the law has learned in this century, it's the ability to feel compassion for the emotionally disturbed.
Yeah, he's that all right, but that doesn't...
Ned, this parable of yours, you talking about Louis Riddell?
Yes.
He told you that he murdered Yost.
He did, I swear it. In my office, the same day of the verdict. He knew he was safe enough that he couldn't be indicted again.
Yeah, the rationale of the irrational.
What?
No, for God's sake, Ned, use your brains. Can't you see that the man's mentally ill? Everything points to it. He killed a boy just for putting an arm around his wife. He confesses when there's no need to confess. Is it worthwhile venting all this anger against such a man?
But he's dangerous. He'll do this again, Judge. If a man just looks cross-eyed at his wife, it'll be another excuse for murder.
If he had confessed this to you before the trial was over...
I would have demanded that he plead guilty. He'd be waiting to serve a life sentence right now.
And Ned, you're forgetting something.
What?
I was the judge at the trial. It was my prerogative to pass sentence, not yours.
It was first-degree murder, premeditated.
Ned, if the jury had brought me a guilty verdict, I would have recommended psychiatric examination with a view to confinement at an institution for the criminally insane.
But you didn't know he was... I mean, even I didn't know he was crazy.
Well, do you know it now? Do you feel it now? Do you recognize that he needs cure more than punishment?
Punishment.
The law only penalizes the guilty, Ned. Isn't that what we all believe in? We don't penalize the sick.
I have to go, Judge. I have something to do.
Well, it's getting pretty late for running errands, Ned. Almost midnight.
Yeah, but this is important, Judge. I have to see someone. I have to tell... something very important. Hello? Is this Lucerne dispatching?
My name's Ned Murray. I'm a friend of Tony Igo. No, Murray. Murray. That's the last name, not the first. Look, it's very important that I reach Tony as soon as possible, only this is the only number he ever gave me to reach him. But he's got to have a home phone, right? So help me. It's important. It's a matter of... Look, who am I speaking to? Lady, please. I'm in a phone booth and it's pouring like hell and I'm getting soaked. No. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to talk to you that way. Yes, I realize that, but if you could make this one exception... Well, how do you know he isn't home? For God's sakes, it's after midnight. Yes. All right. He couldn't have done that tonight. He couldn't. Taxi!
Lou, is that you?
Yeah, it's me. Disappointed?
Where the heck have you been?
I've been taking care of business.
What business? Since when do you sell shoes in the middle of the night?
I was taking care of some competition. That's what I was doing.
What are you talking about?
Oh, I pretend you don't know.
But I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
You know something, Melanie? You make a rotten liar.
I'm not lying. For God's sake, Lou, will you stop staring at me like that?
I'm looking at you the way other men look at you.
What other men?
One who comes around here every day when I'm out pounding the pavements, peddling those lousy shoes to those stores.
Oh, Lou, nobody comes around. You're just in one of those crazy jealous moods again.
Well, I got news for you, Pumpkin. There's one boyfriend who's not coming around anymore.
Are you still talking about that poor, dumb grocery boy? Lou, I
know that I was... No, I'm talking about the old guy. One with the white hair. One who's been hanging around here all night, looking up at our window, waiting to make sure that the coast is clear.
You're crazy. Crazy. I don't know any white-haired guy.
Well, you'll never get to know this one, because he's got something wrong with him, baby. He's got a carving knife in his stomach.
Lou. Oh, my God, no. Lou, you didn't.
Yes, I did. So you can forget about seeing your lover boy tonight, baby. You can just forget it. You'll have to be satisfied with just me.
Lou, just tell me it isn't true. Tell me you didn't kill anyone.
It wasn't the first time, Pumpkin. If you keep up the way you're going, it won't be the last. In fact, the next one might be you.
Oh, my God. Those police cars. They're coming here.
Lieutenant Gerhardt.
Oh, hi, Ned. What are you doing here?
What's going on? What's all the crowd about?
Oh, wait a minute. You know the victim, don't you? Is that why you're here? You get a tip or something?
Victim? Who?
Tony Igo.
Tony?
Somebody used a knife on him.
Oh, God.
Ironic, isn't it? Probably a dozen guys wanted Tony Igo knocked off. And how does he get it? From a jealous husband.
Is he dead?
Yeah, he's dead. And it was your ex-client that did it, that guy Rydell. He caught Tony hanging around the building watching the place. Rydell claims he was after his wife. You know about this, Ned?
It's not true. It's not true, Lieutenant. He didn't even know the woman.
Then what was he doing here?
A favor. He was doing somebody a favor.
What are you talking about?
Look, where is Rydell now?
Upstairs, answering questions. He won't get away. Not like the last time, Counselor.
Yes, it won't be like the last time. Excuse me.
Hey, where do you think you're going?
I want to see him. He's entitled to talk to a lawyer, isn't he?
You must be nuts yourself. Half a dozen witnesses saw him do it.
Can I go up, Lieutenant?
You mean you'll defend that screwball again? He's out of his mind. Don't you know that?
Yes, I know. And that's what I'll try to prove. Now, will you please let me see my client?
And so Ned Murray is about to try for still another verdict. This time a verdict which will carry a punishment more befitting to the crime. And something tells me that he'll be very successful. Not just as an attorney, but as a human being.
I'll be back shortly.
Young I may be, but still I'm a man. Turn 18 and I'll do what I can. Find me a place where I can be me. Get ready for life.
Exciting job and see the world. Call toll-free 800-841-8000 or see your Navy recruiter. Be someone special in the new Navy.
I know where I'm going from here.
Some time ago, a man named Thomas De Quincey said, if once a man indulges himself in murder, very soon he comes to think very little of robbing. And from robbing, he comes next to drinking and Sabbath breaking. And from that, to incivility and procrastination. Let that be a lesson to all of you. This quotation and this story have come to you through the courtesy of our Radio Mystery Theater. Our cast included Tony Roberts, Joseph Julian, Bryna Rayburn, Barbara Caruso, Robert Dryden, and Sam Gray. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Where's my wife?
She said she'd meet you in the car.
Mr. Peterson, if I were you, I'd forget everything that happened tonight.
Is that a threat?
No. A warning.
That's all I've been getting around here, warnings.
Take them seriously.
And if I don't?
You'll regret it for the rest of your life, which may not be a long one.
You still insist that you're not threatening me?
I'm only trying to help you.
Really? And why should you do that?
Why? Maybe it's because the last guy tried to help me.
What last guy?
I didn't listen to him.
The last guy? What do you mean?
Nothing. Forget it.
You know, with you and your wife, it seems, everything turns out to be nothing and forget.
I don't think it matters now. I have an idea. It's already too late for you.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is KOIN in Portland. Our time is 12 midnight. Happy Thursday.
CBS News. They're still meeting in Washington in an effort to work out the truckers' dispute. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. An all-day session on the truckers' strike now looks like it might go on all night. Earlier, there were signs tempers were getting short when Governor Schaff of Pennsylvania stalked out of the talks, saying at first he wanted to meet with someone higher up, higher than William Usry, the administration aide sent to the meeting. Schaff later returned to the talks and then said he thinks some progress is being made. Representatives of the striking independent truck drivers are also in on the discussions. The governors of three more states, Illinois, Indiana, and Maryland, have called up National Guardsmen for duty in connection with the trucker strike. One governor, George Wallace of Alabama, made a direct appeal to President Nixon.
I again called upon the president of this country to resolve this matter in the interest
of the independent truckers in order that they might get back to hauling themselves on the highways of Alabama and of the nation.
Wallace also said no individual state can resolve the truckers' matter. He says it must be settled at the federal level. House and Senate conferees have approved a measure calling for a rollback of crude oil prices and the products of crude oil. The compromise measure also eliminates a provision that would have imposed a windfall profits tax on the oil companies. I'll have more news after this message. This is Wynn Elliott, CBS Sports. When you're a regular listener to the CBS Radio Network, you keep up with all the important events of the day and all the major sports news, too. Every Saturday and Sunday, I bring you Sports Central USA, 10 fast broadcasts covering all the action every weekend. So whether you're relaxing at home or out on the road, keep up with Sports Central USA on the CBS Radio Network, where the listeners are.
Open up your heart and let the love shine through. Show the world you care, my friend, bring it closer to you.
We're asking you to let a high school student from abroad live with your family for a year while he or she goes to school in your community and learns firsthand about life in America. We guarantee it'll be a sharing experience you'll never forget. For information on how to apply, write AFS, 313 East 43rd Street, New York City, 10017.
Just 3 hours ago, the island of Grenada got its independence from Britain. Capping recent political violence on Grenada, the man in charge moved last night to silence his opposition. Ike Pappas reports from Grenada.
Maurice Bishop, the leader of the militant New Jewel movement and the chief political opponent to Grenada's strong-arm premier, Eric Garry, was arrested only hours before ceremonies officially declaring the independence of the tiny Caribbean island from Great Britain. A company of armed, green-clad army troops and squads of Gary's own rifle-carrying secret police surrounded Bishop's house and moved in, seizing him and searching the home. Bishop's wife, who was with him, was not taken. Bishop has often called for Gary's resignation and recently had been organizing almost daily demonstrations and a general strike against the Gary government, charging that the premier would set himself up as a dictator once the British departed. Bishop also warned that Gary would not allow political opposition to his rule. Mike Pappas, CBS News, Grenada.
President Nixon on Wednesday told a federal judge that he will refuse to grant the Senate Watergate Committee's request for 5 White House tapes because that might jeopardize the national interest as well as future criminal trials. The House on Wednesday voted to give the Judiciary Committee broad subpoena power for its probe into the possible impeachment of President Nixon. Committee Chairman Peter Rodino said in his view this means the committee does have the power to subpoena President Nixon himself. Secretary of State Kissinger goes to Panama today. He'll sign a new agreement between the U.S. and Panama, declaring their willingness to negotiate a new treaty over control of the Panama Canal. Panama in recent years has been pressing for talks with the U.S. to change the status of the American-controlled canal and canal zone. Senate and House committees Wednesday both approved legislation raising the federal minimum wage to $2 an hour. A similar measure was vetoed by President Nixon last September. Now this.
In 1919, someone had a big idea. Let's help youth understand big business by starting them in small businesses of their own. And Junior Achievement was born. Each group elected a board of directors, chose a product, set up a production line, sold stock, and went into business. That year, 314 students made and sold products and learned the business of business. Today, Junior Achievement has grown to nearly 200,000 members. Junior Achievers are designing and marketing their own products and services, from cutting boards to printing. They're organizing sales efforts, writing marketing plans, calculating profit and loss. Running these small businesses helps Junior Achievers understand how big business works. Support Junior Achievement, where youth learns the business of business. Call your local Junior Achievement office.
The Senate Rules Committee has approved a bill to provide complete financing of presidential election campaigns with federal funds. A presidential candidate would be allowed a maximum of about $21 million for his general election campaign. The Senate bill would also put strict limitations on contributions and campaign spending. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
Senator Mark Hatfield says the greatest threat facing the world is the unequal distribution of the Earth's resources. The Oregon Republican condemns U.S. foreign policy toward resource-rich developing nations. He says our foreign aid today is primarily motivated by a desire to expand American imperialism. The relief of human suffering has faded into the background. Hatfield made the statements today during a Bora Symposium discussion at the University of Idaho. The symposium is named in memory of the late Idaho Republican Senator William Bora. Hatfield co-sponsored the McGovern-Hatfield Amendment to stop the war in Southeast Asia. Today he denounced U.S. foreign policy as, in his words, an instrument to protect American investments abroad at the risk of American lives. A spokesman for the Oregon Highway Department says U.S. Highway 101 near Cannon Beach may not be repaired for 1 month. He says a slide has left a split in 1,100 feet of the road. The slide carried three houses about 80 feet. Independent truckers in Oregon say they have agreed to ask Governor Tom McCall to help them with problems they blame on high diesel fuel costs and lower speed limits. McCall says he plans to appeal to the Interstate Commerce Commission to adjust truck fuel prices. A timber products company says it will experiment with using garbage and wood waste to fire its paper mill boilers in Lincoln County, Oregon. A company spokesman says if the test proves out, the firm may be able to use all the burnable waste produced in Lincoln County and neighboring counties. A spokesman for General Telephone Company says a meeting with union representatives has produced nothing new in a strike that has idled 3,000 employees. The workers affected are in western Washington, Oregon, and northern California. Local 89 of the electrical workers struck Wednesday morning in a wage dispute. A bill to set up a state lottery and use the profits for special school levy relief has been approved by the Washington State House of Representatives. Opposition to the measure was based mostly on philosophical objections to gambling, especially to the state promoting gambling. Washington Governor Dan Evans says the state's shortage of electricity has been overcome. He has ordered highway and street lights turned on again. He also says the Centralia power plant, which burns coal, will have to comply with state air quality standards again. Governor Evans also says he plans to start an Oregon-type gasoline distribution system in the state Monday. He says that under the voluntary system, drivers whose autos have license plates with odd numbers will buy gasoline on odd-numbered days, and those with even-numbered plates will buy on even-numbered days, and all will be permitted to buy on Saturday. The weather forecast for Portland, Vancouver, night and morning clouds, or patchy fog and mostly sunny afternoons through Thursday and Friday. The lows at night, 35 to 40, the high both days, 45 to 50 with light winds. Chance of rain near zero tonight and Thursday, 10% Thursday night. The present temperature stands at 44 degrees. That's KOIN News at 9 minutes after 12 midnight. I'm Bill Garrity. In cooperation with the Greater Portland Council of Churches, Coin Radio closes its broadcasting day with Meditation Time and the Prayer, transcribed by the Reverend James E. Meade of Valley Community United Presbyterian Church.
Have you ever heard the wise saying that goes, everything works for good, or everything works out for best? Usually you hear that when things aren't going very well. People tell you that in order to comfort you, to say that, well, everything is okay after all. Every cloud has its silver lining. Anyway, the phrase seems to be helpful because it does sound vaguely biblical. I'd like to read you something that Paul wrote to the church in Rome. He said, "We know that in everything God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things that are present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul didn't tell the Romans to keep their chins up because everything that happens is good. No, he said that whatever happens, God loves us. Good or bad, illness, death, danger, whatever, in all things, God loves us. And in all things, he is trying to work out his loving plan for our lives. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Is everything that happens good? No. But is God with you in everything that happens? Yes. That's what I believe, and I believe that's what Scripture teaches. Grateful to God for that.
This is radio station KOIN, transmitting on a frequency of 970 kilohertz with 5,000 watts of power. COIN is owned and operated by Mount Hood Radio and Television Broadcasting Corporation. Our studios are at 140 Southwest Columbia Street in Portland, Oregon. We're leaving the air now to return at 5:30 tomorrow morning. On behalf of the management and the personnel of COIN, this is Bill Myers inviting you to join us again for another full day of the best in radio. Good night.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
Where is she?
Back at her hotel.
We did not want to speak to her. Just you.
Okay. You have the floor, Mr. Collodinus.
Collodinus, Monsieur Nash. A question, monsieur. Why are you in France?
As we say at home, none of your business.
I like you, Monsieur Nash. You are refreshingly candid. You are working for FNB. You are a trusted, intelligent worker. Well thought of.
Thanks for the information. When I get back, I'll put in for a raise.
If you get back, monsieur. If you get back.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.